Om Vishnupad, Paramahamsa, Parvraja Kacharya, Asatara Sata Sri Srimati Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Maharaj, Prabhupada Ki Jaya. ISKCON Founder Acharya Srila Prabhupada Ki Jaya, Antakoti Vaishnava Vrinda Ki Jaya, Namacharya Srila Haridas Thakur Ki Jaya, Prem Shikaho Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Adwaita Gadadhar Shri Vasari Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Ki Jaya, Shri Shri Radha Krishna Gaur Gopinath Shai Mukunda Radha Kunda Giri Govardhana Ki Jaya, Vrindavan Dhamma Ki Jaya, Mathura Dhamma Ki Jaya, Navadvip Mayapur Dhamma Ki Jaya, Jagannath Puri Dhamma Ki Jaya, Gangamaya Jamuna Devi Ki Jaya, Bhakti Devi Ki Jaya, Tulsi Maharani Ki Jaya, Samaveta Bhakta Vrinda Ki Jaya, Gaur Premanande. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Sri Guru and Gauranga. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimati Bhaktivedanta Swami Niti Namane. Namaste Sarasvati Deve Gauravani Pacharane Nirvasesa Sunyavadi Paskachyade Satarane. Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Yuta Padakamalam Sri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Sri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatham Vitams Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Sadvadutam Parijana Sahita Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lata Shri Vishakam Vitamscha Vanchakalpa Chubhischa Kripasindavyevata Patitanam Pavanevyo Vaishnavevyo Namo Namaha. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So, we have some things in the chat window. Okay, we'll do that later. So, today it's the 16th of May, 2020, Zoom class for ISKCON Columbus on Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 3, Chapter 6, Creation of the Universal Form, Text 36. Tatapi kirtayam yanga. Tatapi kirtayam yanga. Yatamati yatashrutam, yatamati yatashrutam, kirtim hare swam sat kartum, kirtim hare swam sat kartum, giramanya bidasatim, giramanya bidasatim. Tata, therefore, api, although it is so, kirtayami, I do describe, anga, o vidura, yata, as much as, mati, intelligence, yata, as much as, shrutam, heard, kirtim, glories, harehe, of the Lord, swam, own, sat kartum, just purify, giram, speeches, anya bidha, otherwise, asatim, unchaste. Srila Prabhupada's translation. In spite of my inability, whatever I've been able to hear from the spiritual master and whatever I could assimilate, I am now describing in glorification of the Lord by pure speech, for otherwise my power of speaking would remain unchaste. Srila Prabhupada's purport. The purification of the conditioned soul necessitates purification of his consciousness. By the presence of consciousness, the presence of the transcendental soul is verified. And as soon as consciousness leaves the material body is not active. Consciousness is perceived, therefore, by activities. The theory put forward by empiric philosophers that consciousness can remain in an inactive state is the proof of their poor fund of knowledge. One should not become unchaste by stopping the activities of pure consciousness. If the activities of pure consciousness are stopped, certainly the conscious living force will be otherwise engaged, because unless engaged, the consciousness has no standing. Consciousness cannot be silent even for a moment. When the body does not act, the consciousness acts in the form of dreams. Unconsciousness is artificial. By induced extraneous help, it remains for a limited period. But when the intoxication of the drug is finished, or when one is awake, the consciousness again acts earnestly. Maitreya's statement is that in order to avoid unchaste conscious activities, he was trying to describe the unlimited glories of the Lord, although he did not have the ability to describe them perfectly. This glorification of the Lord is not a product of research, but the result of hearing submissively from the authority of the spiritual master. It is also not possible to repeat all that one has heard from his spiritual master, but one can narrate as far as possible by one's honest endeavor. It does not matter whether the Lord's glories are fully explained or not. One must attempt to engage one's bodily, mental, and verbal activities in the transcendental glorification of the Lord. Otherwise, such activities will remain unchaste and impure. The existence of the conditioned soul can be purified only by the method of engaging mind and speech in the service of the Lord. The Tridandi Sannyasi of the Vaishnav school accepts three rods representing the vow to engage in the service of the Lord with body, mind, and speech, whereas the Ekadandi Sannyasi takes the vow to become one with the Supreme. Since the Lord is the Absolute, there is no distinction between Him and His glories. The glories of the Lord, as chanted by the Vaishnava Sannyasi, are as substantial as the Lord Himself. And thus, while glorifying the Lord, the devotee becomes one with Him in transcendental interest, although he remains eternally a transcendental servitor. This simultaneously one and different position of the devotee makes him eternally purified, and thus his life becomes a complete success. Yatapi kirtayanyanga yata mati yata shrutam kirtim hare swam satkartum girim anya bida satim. I have people telling me that somehow the Zoom is not opening properly. In spite of my inability, whatever I've been able to hear from the spiritual master and whatever I could assimilate, I am now describing in glorification of the Lord by pure speech, for otherwise my power of speaking would remain unchaste. So we want to be able to have purification of our consciousness. We want to be able to have purification of our consciousness. We are all suffering due to impurities. And I mean, this is a basic principle of purity is there in every culture of the world. There was sociological research done about universal moral principles. Are there moral principles that apply in every society and in every culture at all times? Now, of course, this sociological research is not absolute, but it's still interesting that they found five universal moral principles: purity, authority, fairness, community, and harm. But purity is a universal principle, that people want to do what's pure rather than what's impure. And we can see that such a principle is rooted in biology. If you do pure things, you're healthy, and if you do impure things, you're unhealthy. I mean, it's a pretty simple biological principle that's applicable to all forms of life. Of course, how one defines purity and impurity will vary considerably depending on the body and the culture. So in some societies, they'll think meat eating is, you know, as long as the meat's killed in a certain way or whatever, that it's pure. But the concept of having purity, rather than impurity, is universal. We want purity. We want health. Yes? We want vitality. We want to be real. We want to be awake and alive. You know, obviously sometimes we like to sleep as a restoration or as an escape perhaps, but we would like to be filled all the time with vitality. So here Srila Prabhupada is defining this purity as of consciousness as something that, well, we'll step back a minute. He's saying consciousness means activity. That artificially you can stop activity of a conscious being for a temporary time, but that consciousness is manifest in activity, and therefore if we're looking for pure consciousness, we're looking for pure activity. That pure activity both purifies our consciousness and it is a manifestation of our consciousness. There's many activities like that. For example, if you give someone you love a gift, so that giving of a gift both demonstrates the love that already exists and it creates more love. So activities, purified activities, both demonstrate purity of consciousness that already exists and they serve to purify consciousness. Now, here especially, the emphasis is on purity of speech, although Srila Prabhupada talks considerably in this purport about body, mind, and speech. Body, mind, and speech. So we're going to look particularly at how we become purified by pure speech. And we're going to look particularly at how pure speech purifies us, rather than so much how pure speech is an indicator of an already purified consciousness. How we can engage in pure speech as a spiritual practice, as part of the practice of bhakti. So, Srila Prabhupada's main point in this purport is that spirituality means action. Action. And he's connecting pure speech to the body and mind. In other words, in order for our speech to purify us, our behavior and our mind also have to be engaged in purificatory activities. Srila Prabhupada would often say that you can't tell a well-dressed person is a fool until they open their mouth. And the truth of this is demonstrated every day in the news, where many well-dressed, sophisticated people prove their foolishness by opening their mouth. Yes, and I'm sure we've experienced also that, you know, we may think that somebody is intelligent, or somebody is moral, or somebody is spiritual, until they speak. And then we can understand, oops. That goes the other way as well. Just like King Rahugana saw Jad Bharata, and he thought that he was, you know, had some mental deficiency. He thought that he was not a fully functional person. And he felt that he was a low-class person as well. He was very dirty. And as soon as Jad Bharata spoke, Rahugana said, oh, the devotees are often in disguise. Immediately he can understand, I'm in the association of a saintly person. So our speech, in order for our speech to be pure, we have to have bodily activities that are pure. If we're engaging in illicit sex, intoxication, gambling, and meat-eating, we're not going to be able to have pure speech. It just won't work. Right? If we're engaged in the activities of the mode of ignorance, then our speech will be foolish. If we're engaged in the activities of the mode of passion, then our speech will be a source of misery. Then also our mind has to be engaged in Krishna consciousness, because whatever the condition of our mind is will come out in our speech somehow or other. You know, we may try to avoid it, but it's not going to be absolutely avoidable. Therefore, the Shastra says one should test guru and disciple for a year. You know, one may hear somebody for an hour and think, oh yeah, but if you, over the course of a year, the person's mentality is going to be demonstrated in their speech. And this is a very easy principle to see with others. It's very easy to discern with others that we can tell if we listen to somebody for a while, you know, what their state is. They'll reveal it in their speech. So we need to work on purifying our body and mind in order to purify our speech. And then also, I often like to talk about the austerities of speech in the Bhagavad Gita, the austerities in the mode of goodness, that speech has to be truthful, right? We shouldn't lie. Sometimes it's better to say nothing than to speak the truth, however. And Krishna says that if, you know, a murderer is asking where his victim, his intended victim is hiding, you don't tell him the truth. But sometimes if the truth will hurt people, then it's better to be silent. Yes, otherwise we commit another offense of preaching the glories of the Lord to the faithless. Then another austerity of speech is to regularly recite the Vedic literature, which is what we're going to get to in a moment. Another austerity of speech is to be pleasing, to speak things which are pleasing, which is why sometimes one simply goes silent. So that means the message itself is pleasing. You know, in Vedic society, the bearer of bad news sometimes would be punished, and the bearer of good news would sometimes be rewarded. And I was thinking if that principle was active in society, you know, we'd probably be a lot more careful about what we said. Then not agitating to others. So this means using pleasing words. We can see how these principles of austerity of speech are heavily violated in modern society, where people use very nasty and agitating language to communicate unpleasant things that are not truthful and not based on the Vedas. And then the other austerity of speech is beneficial, which is the primary austerity, that what we say should benefit both ourself and the person to whom we are speaking. This means speaking according to time, place, and circumstance. This morning I was hearing a lecture where Srila Prabhupada was speaking about Jesus Christ and how the people in his society crucified him just for preaching God consciousness. He said, therefore, he had to present truth in a different way than we would be presenting truth today. So according to the ability of people to hear, according to people's level of advancement and realization, according to the extent and kind of their false ego, you know, if we speak truth that simply disturbs people and simply makes them angry or simply makes them offensive, then that's not pure speech. And we're going to go to the point about being based on the Vedic literature. And this point is very much emphasized in today's verse, Shrutam, how we have heard, not concocting something. It's a very important principle that I was trained in early on in my time in the International Society for Krishna Consciousness, is that everything we say, we should be able to back it up from the scriptures. You know, if someone says, where is that from? We should be able to say, here's where it's from. And I have found that this principle is not observed as well as it could be, that people will share things and, you know, where'd you hear that from? You know, one of the difficult things, at least I find difficult about Hinduism, is that there's often among Hindus, and there are many Hindus who are not Indian, by the way, many Indians who are not Hindus. It's not a racial designation. But among Hindus, there's often so many stories about this demigod and that demigod and this incarnation and this person, and you have no idea where they're from. You know, where's that story from? And these stories just get passed all over the place. And where is it from? Where is it from? And even if you can say, okay, it's from this scripture, who has translated it? You know, is it a good translation? So to make sure that we're reciting the Vedic literature, to make sure that what we're speaking about comes from authority. Prabhupada saying here, hearing means to hear from the spiritual master, to come from authority, not to concoct things. And also, to hear from authority means that we study holistically, not that we pull out something from authority that supports our preconceived point of view, which is a very strong tendency of conditioned souls. You know, that I already have a particular point of view, and so I do a search and I find the quote that supports, I find the quotes that supports what I want to say, and I don't go to the quotes that make me wrong. So a really honest hearing. Then Srila Prabhupada writes in this purport about honest endeavor. Let's see if I can. Yes, here. One can narrate as far as possible by one's honest endeavor. And we find in the verse itself, in spite of my inability. So, to make an honest endeavor, to have some sincerity. People often ask, what does it mean to be sincere? And it is a hard word to define. What is an honest endeavor? What is a sincere endeavor? In one sense, if we look in our hearts honestly, we will probably find ourselves lacking in sincerity. Of course, when you're new to Krishna consciousness, you think you're the most sincere person on the planet. That's another thing. The false confidence that Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur writes about in Madhurya Kadambini. But at least as far as we can in the moment we're in. As far as we can in the moment we're in. So in this particular moment, whatever sincerity, whatever honesty, whatever attachment, whatever love I have, let me act with that. It may be insufficient, it is insufficient, it's probably mixed with something, it's probably, you know, I probably have so many other motives, but it's all I have right now. I can only give what I have. I can't give something that I don't have. And all of us have some sincerity. I mean, Rupa Goswami talks about having just a mustard seed worth of sincerity, but we all have some sincerity. So to pull that, to do our very, very best to be honest. Yes, Rukmini talks about without wax, sincere. So to fix pots with and without cheating, at least without knowledgeable cheating. So again, I have so many impurities in my heart of which I'm aware, and I have so many impurities in my heart, frankly, of which I'm not aware. I probably think that I'm a much more sincere and honest person than I really am. At least according to research, most people think they're above average, which of course is statistically impossible. But most people think that we're above average in intelligence, that we're above average in honesty, that we're above average drivers, that we're above average in morality. You know, the research shows that generally people think that they are better than the average, which by definition cannot be true. So there, we have many deficiencies of which we are aware, and then we have many deficiencies of which we're not aware. And all we can do is what we can do in the moment. But at least not to be intentionally cheating. Not to be willfully, knowingly cheating. To do our best with what we have. Then Prabhupada speaks about in this purport, writes about in this purport, real oneness. It's kind of interesting. At first reading this paragraph, I thought that the editors had failed to separate the paragraph properly. Right? I mean, Srila Prabhupada is talking about the beginning, whatever we hear for honest endeavor, and to engage our body, mind, and words in the service of the Lord. And then he writes about the Tridandi sannyasis of the Vaishnava school, and the three rods representing the body, mind, and words. and the Eggadandi sannyasis want to become one. And then I thought, well, it seems like there should be a paragraph split here. It seems like Prabhupada's going on to a new topic. Since the Lord is the Absolute, there is no distinction between Him and His glories. But here, Srila Prabhupada is explaining how the Vaishnava sannyasis, or the Vaishnavas, do become one with the Lord. Because as soon as I use my speech to glorify the Lord, I'm finding a oneness in transcendental interest. I become one with the Lord in interest. And when I become one with the Lord of interest, Prabhupada said, I become purified and my life becomes a complete success. So our glorification of the Lord should also be such that we become one with Him in interest, that we glorify Him for His interest. We glorify Him for His pleasure. Okay, so I was asked to give another class this morning, so I'm going to end this class here, and then we're going to start at another topic.